murder and robbery charges. Fox News, we report, you decide.
Hey there, I'm Kim Williams with Alabama Home Mortgage, where we make mortgages easy. It's a new season, which means there are new changes that you should know about. If you currently have a conventional loan, this message is for you. Listen up. If you owe $454,000 or less on your home, then it is time for you to take advantage of the new conforming loan program. Call me at 567-4223. Let's talk about how you could be saving money today. Ring in the new season with more money in your pocket. Now is the time to lower your rate and payment. Why pay more than you have to? Let's talk through the options together to create your very own Alabama home mortgage. Call me, Kim Williams, today at 567-4223 or visit our website at alahomemortgage.com. That's alahomemortgage.com to see just how much money you could be saving with an Alabama home mortgage. There is a difference in mortgage lenders. NMLS 372-374, Equal Housing Lender.
I'm with Miss Donna at the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall. Dot, summer's here.
Summer's here, and it's here in full force.
Well, tell us some things you're getting ready for.
We're getting ready for Customer Appreciation Day, which will be in July, so keep listening. We are getting ready for the kids to go back to college and get those dorms and apartments.
Haven't you changed your basement some?
The basement, we've revamped it some, and we think you need to come and see it because we're proud of it.
So bring those trucks and load them up and get the kids ready to go back to college.
Absolutely. Really, we've got everything you need. We've got everything from the silverware to the dishes to the bedspreads to curtains, everything.
All right, Doc, what are your hours of operation?
Monday through Friday is 10 until 6. Saturday is 9 until 6. And Sunday is 12:30 to 4:30.
That's the Eastbrook Flea Market and Antique Mall, 425 Coliseum Boulevard, Montgomery.
Twinkle Cavanaugh is falsely attacking conservative outsider Will Ainsworth because Twinkle is the ultimate swamp politician, and lying to keep power is what swamp politicians do. Twinkle's been a career politician for decades. She's run for governor, lieutenant governor, treasurer, public service commissioner, everything but dog catcher. Twinkle supported the largest tax increase in Alabama history ever. And Twinkle is a longtime swamp bureaucrat and former government lobbyist for the swamp interests she now regulates. Twinkle Cavanaugh, another tax-loving lobbyist bureaucrat swamp politician Alabama can't afford. Conservative outsider Will Ainsworth is pro-life, pro-gun, 100% pro-Trump. A small businessman, not a career politician, he'll fight for the strongest immigration laws in America, arm teachers in the classroom, and drain the Montgomery swamp. Will Ainsworth for Lieutenant Governor.
Paid for by Friends of Will Ainsworth, 7520 Browns Valley Road, Gunnersville, Alabama, 75976.
A rough-running engine could be suffering from buildup of fuel and oil deposits, but O'Reilly Auto Parts can help. Clean out engine buildup and improve fuel economy with Seafoam products. Buy two, get one free at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Extend the life of your engine with Seafoam products at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Limits apply. See store for details.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Deck season rolls around every year. Staining your deck shouldn't. That's why the Home Depot now carries number one rated Olympic stains, including Olympic Max from only $33.98 a gallon. It's a brand trusted for over 80 years to protect season after season. So do it right with Olympic, and next year, you won't have to do it at all. Olympic Stain, for the first time at the Home Depot. More saving, more doing. Number one rating from an independent consumer study. U.S. only. See store for details.
The Rich Thomas Weather Network, brought to you by AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. For a free quote, call 1-800-577-2058. AFS Foundation and Waterproofing Specialists. They support everything you love.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The risk of showers and thunderstorms continues. In fact, some of the storms could be on the strong side, but generally overnight they'll start to fade out. Overnight low in the mid-70s. Tomorrow, a routine summer day in this part of the world. That would be a sun and cloud mix, high around 92 with a few scattered hit or miss afternoon and evening storms here and there. Sunday's high will be closer to 94 with triple digit heat indices, lots of sunshine, and rain chances not zero, but relatively small. Stay on top of the weather changes with our weather app. It has the latest from the tropics, 10-day forecast, hourly forecast, current conditions, radar, future radar, and push notifications for severe weather alerts. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
Oh, well, this is like a pre-open, soft opening. I mean, a soft opening of the Joey Clark Radio Hour. We haven't actually opened yet, but, I mean, who doesn't love a soft opening? You know, and it's a weird thing. Like, you get your grand opening, but before the grand opening, you have your soft opening for your VIPs. And I consider all of you listening right now who stay through the commercial breaks. We're already seven after VIPs. It's going to be a great show. We've got 84 in the studio. We've got Seth Spotlow. We have Fiance. I don't know what we're going to talk about, but I feel confident that it's going to be a fantastic show, mainly because Mr. Spotlow is wearing a shirt without any sleeves. That said, and he's baring his hairy chest now. I mean, it's the type of gear that you'd want to wear. And I've been telling folks a lot about Eddie Bader, you know, the guy with the Goodson Group. And, you know, we've been mostly focusing on, like, first-time home buyers. Like, I'm going to be probably here in a year. I'm planning for that because I'm tired of renting. But, you know, there's a nicer way to live here. Like, my dad lives down on the coast, but that's a long drive. What if you want to stay in the river region? But maybe you already have a home in Montgomery, Wetumpka, or Prattville, whatever it is, and you have it made. You saved for retirement, you worked hard, and you want a house on the lake. Well, Eddie Bader does lake house tours, and he doesn't just take you up the back winding roads to go to the house so you can sit on the deck and, well, if it's your thing, smoke a cigarette or just have a beer or, you know, if you're an alcoholic, a Shirley Temple. Isn't that right, Seth? A Shirley Temple. But what Eddie does is he will take you on a pontoon boat tour of lakeside property. So you can cruise on the lake, pull up, dock, get out and see the house that way as though you already own the place. It's a great experience. And if you're interested in lakeside properties, Lake Jordan or Lake Martin, give Eddie Bader with the Goodson Group a call. 322-0662. Again, his number. It'll go right to him. He'll say, hey, this is Eddie. 322-0662. Now, that's what we call a soft opening, ladies and gentlemen. I hope you treated you well. In just mere moments, well, the show's about to get hard.
The River Region's 24-hour news talk station. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
Hold on to your butt.
I'm, of course, surprised that a story had such an immediate and profound effect upon radio listeners.
Hooey pleases the boobs a great deal more than sense.
Woe is us! We're in a lot of trouble!
In politics, man must learn to rise above principle.
What the hell are we doing here?
We are behaving the way a superpower ought to behave.
Well, our behavior has produced some crappy results.
What we're witnessing now is the failure of the state. It is a death struggle for our republic.
Giving voice to liberty in our time.
Joey Clark.
Oh, welcome.
Call you up in the middle of the night, like a firefly without a light. You were there like a blowtorch burning. I was a key that could use a little turning. So tired that I...
Now, I'm playing Runaway Train by Soul Asylum because Fiance and I were talking off air about what he's been listening to.
Yeah.
And then for some reason when you said Third Eye Blind, I thought of this song. I know it's not Third Eye Blind. Well, wait. Seth is giving Fiance
like
a... He's giving him a weird look. What's the look for?
Dude, really?
Third
Eye. Okay. Well,
you know,
I
do the unlimited thing with the Amazon, and I pick a group I want to listen to, and it just so happened to be Pearl Jam today. So, Pearl Jam
is part of
Audio
that.
Slave, Third Eye Blind, all that stuff, you know.
This song was in Clerks. So sweet.
Okay, so the best friends just had a moment. 84 and I are doing karaoke.
You had a moment, too, because grandpa knows that song. We're headed to...
He's not a grandpa yet.
Come on, man.
He's 40. He's a man.
That's right.
Is that what your mama told you?
I'm a man.
Oh, what a day, what a day, what a day. I don't want to talk about kids at the border.
Oh, speaking of kids.
Yeah, let's talk about kids here.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Let's talk about kids here. The other day, I saw a midget walk out of here. Can I bring my midget in here one day?
Oh, and you're not using it to refer to a little person. You're using it to refer to a child.
Yeah,
because the term midget is now very offensive.
Oh,
if you're
crap.
Very offensive.
Well, a short.
I'm mad.
Person.
Vertically challenged.
How about a 2-year-old?
Yeah. You can bring your 2-year-old.
That would be awesome.
Rose is more than welcome.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think she would last long, but it'd be cool. She's a good cat. Oh, speaking of cat, yeah, I had her chasing after the laser pointer.
Oh, okay. Wait, you had Rose or a cat, an actual feline chasing after
both.
Her.
Both. He stopped by the house the other morning. we have a laser pointer to, you know, entertain Irene and Loretta.
Yeah, the
and,
cats.
Whenever we go out of town, I call Seth. He's got a key. He'll go watch, you know, feed the cats and, you know, do the litter box and all that stuff.
Right.
And he come over and he's like, dude, it's so fun with the laser pointer because Rose chases it too.
Loves it.
How did you discover this?
Because I brought her over there.
You brought her over there while he's doing the cat thing, and then you decided to...
Yeah. Oh, man. And she was... I put it on the wall, and she's like, ah! And she just laughs, and she thinks it's hilarious. I love it so much. It's so cute.
Yeah.
It's the perfect way to get the little flower girl down the aisle.
She's at that point. She's like... she looks like the little girl from Monsters, Inc. right now.
Oh, her, really?
She looks like Boo.
Yeah.
Oh,
little thing.
Wow.
Yeah, and I've been doing a thing where when we ride around, I'll pick her up. I'll be like, okay, Rose, you ready? I'll be like, na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na-na. And I'll point at her, and she finally said, Batman.
Batman.
Oh, that's adorable.
Batman.
84, do you long for those days? Your daughters are all, you know, getting up grown.
No, not really. I didn't really like my children until they were like 5. I mean, until you can get to where you can wipe yourself, they're pretty much a task rather than... There are some joyful moments when you first... Now, with the first one is different, but after the first one, it's like, okay. They're like, da-da. I'm like, okay, I had one that did that before. do something different for me. I'm serious now. I'm not going to, you know, piss in your ear and tell you it's raining. But no,
please,
I love
don't.
My...
Just don't piss in my ear at all.
I love my
or
children.
My hot dogs.
And yes, every stage is fun. The first 2 years are pretty miserable. Mm. I mean, that's really woman's work. I mean, they like to... change diapers and take care
Did
of women.
Did you really just use the phrase, that's really woman's work?
Yeah, I
You
did.
Know what? I am both daddy and mama at every Tuesday, Thursday, and Saturday.
Well, that's what you have to do. When you're required to do it, you have to do it, and you have to step up to the plate, and you have to be both.
And it sucks, man. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. It is extremely hard to be both sides of the relationship. I feel for people that are in separated families like that. Honest to God, I do, because it's easier when you've got, I'm going to do this, and you're going to do that.
Right.
And
you can tag team that.
Yeah.
It's like a handicap match.
And it can be, yeah, exactly. I do joke a little bit, it can be the daddy's job to do the caretaking, and the mother's job to, you know, earn the money and take care of whatever. You know, you can decide whatever you want to within it, but it makes it extremely, extremely hard. Any single parent out there, be it a single dad or a single mom, I feel for y'all, because it's all that me and Lauren can do to take care of our children.
Right.
When they were growing up. It's a little easier now. They're getting older. I mean, my children are grown, 26, 14.
How many
14.
Kids do you have? 4?
I think so.
You think so?
Now, you know, at 20, 16, 14, and 12, things change. It becomes more about coordination, and that's what mm-hmm. Lauren does. I mean, mm-hmm. she is constantly making sure this one's at this practice, this one's getting to, you know, theater, and this one is, you know, getting to volleyball, and this one's getting taken to this AP class, and she handles all that. So, and we tag team, and I'm like, okay, well, I'll pick the boy up, and we're going to go, we'll get the grass cut, he's going to weed eat, I'm going to sit on the lawnmower, and when you work together, it makes it a lot easier than when you have to do every single thing from start. When our children were young and Lauren would go out of town and I had to take care of them by myself, it was like an 80-hour week in one day.
Oh, it's ridiculous.
And
coordination, I got coordination because my kid is my kid, and we have this problem of walking into stuff. Because she's walking this direction, but she sees something shiny over here, and she's looking, and I'm like
a laser pointer?
Yeah, a laser pointer, or just anything. And I'm just like, look where you're going. You're fixing to walk into a door.
Right,
you know, it's going to hurt.
Right.
So,
you know, 84, I just thought of something. I've been wanting to bring this up. Because what actually made me think of it is a Key and Peele sketch, mm-hmm. where they're like, they're dressed up kind of like rednecks. And they're sitting in a bar. And
you thought about me when
you thought about
rednecks?
Well, no, because you have, like, I had people at that conference I went to. I've had people from not around these parts. So you don't, where's your southern accent, Joey? And so in the sketch, Key and Peele are kind of sitting in the bar going, and the Mexicans, those Mexicans are hard-working, family-loving, religious, God-fearing people. And they go through, like, every group. And what they're doing mm-hmm. is they're playing off, you hear that accent, and people assume something. And I'm wondering, based on your true southern accent, has somebody ever assumed something about you?
I have a southern accent. Really, I have an accent. Really? Yes. Presupposition is, I mean, we do that. Everybody is prejudiced. And
yeah,
that's
snap judgments.
Well, that's become a very ugly, filthy, nasty word that you don't use. Oh, you're prejudiced. We're all prejudiced. All it means is you prejudge somebody.
Hmm.
When I meet you, if you are wearing a shirt with no arms, with El Barto on the back, and you got tattoos on your arms, I'm going to think something about you mm-hmm. until I start talking to you.
Exactly.
Now, me personally, I don't just cut somebody off
sure.
when I see that.
You push through it.
But I think I'm not so sure about this guy. But once you talk to him, then, you know, I'm just not that judgmental. But, yeah, and people,
right.
when they see me, y'all see what I'm wearing. It's what I wear all the time. It's a blue shirt.
It
does not show grease stains because it's a work shirt. It has my name, Clay, on one side mm-hmm. and my company's name on the other side. And this isn't one of those funny shirts that, you know, people wear that's a style. This is my work shirt. And when people see me with a blue collar on and this work shirt on, they assume that dude's not very smart.
He's probably he's not that rich.
He probably works on cars or, you know, he's a plumber or something, and he wasn't smart enough to go to school and get a real good job. He's got to do this.
Oh, this is something that's big. Like, and like he called in one day, guys.
It fires me
off. Because people do that. They say, oh, he's not making all A's, or he's not on the AB honor roll in school. Let's put him in trade school.
But that's what you want, right?
There's three on this side of the table that are in the same position. Well, you work with your hands.
I think because I am in the same boat, I don't know. I don't look at people like that. Of course, I was raised different anyway. I'd say different. I was...
Yes, very different.
I was raised, dad never spoke of color or ethnicity or any of that stuff. And I was raised colorblind and racially blind. I mean, you know, we had friends, we had black friends, we had Mexican friends and all that kind of stuff. But as far as like being biased, it wasn't, It wasn't your color. It was your actions.
Yeah, and see, and I'm not saying bias. I'm saying just prejudice.
Well,
it's just when you see somebody, stand on the side of the road holding a sign up says, "We'll work for food," you look at that person with the long, mangy hair, not a glowing locks like Joey has.
Oh, right.
But you look at that person and you go, there's something wrong with them. You make a judgment about them.
No, I've had...
Go get a job, you know, get do something. Don't stand out here on the side of the road. You do that when you see people. And we all... Oh, he just let the locks down.
Oh, and what did you think when I did that?
But it
no,
just,
what was your snap judgment? Don't think about it. Just say it.
You're... Gorgeous
condition.
Thank you.
Jealousy.
Thank you, sir.
Jealousy was my snap judgment.
You keep saying someone, okay? I am that someone, okay? And
well, you're right in front of them.
Yeah. Well, I am because all right. So you wear the shirt and the collar, and people assume stuff, okay? So in my job, I fix stuff at mechanic shops, and I had my boss bought me the shirts with the collars, the monkey suits is what I call them, and man, I just don't do it. And he was just like, well, it was scratchy and I sweat a lot and it just wasn't worth it. And he was like, well, you can dress yourself because you look kind of trashy and people won't rob you if you look trashy. And they won't. I mean, I'm
sure you scare small children when you walk down the street.
Leave. No, not
they're
mine.
Not chasing.
My kid runs toward me, okay? Everybody else's kid. They're like, eh.
Yeah, they're not chasing the laser pointer. They're running away from you.
Well, okay, so, and I have a tan, of course, all right? So if I go to the gas station and to the Indian or the Arab gas station, you know, because I have a tan and the guys don't know me.
Again, you with the like,
well, you're saying
the midgets and the Arab.
Well, it's because I have a tan and the dudes are cool, you know, but if I don't say anything because I have a tan, people
and you
assume.
Do have the, you have the beard.
They assume that we're on the same page, you know, or at least I'm one of them, you know what I'm saying? I guess whatever.
And he's either Indian or Pakistani.
They hook me up. They really do. And I'm like, cool, man. And then lunch.
Really?
They hook me up. Same with the Mexican restaurant. Because my dudes are cool, man. But if you don't say anything, people don't assume that you don't sound like this. And then they'll hook you up with free tacos. And I'm like, yeah, man. But that just shows how people are like what you were talking about.
They
mean, if I just shut my mouth, people assume stuff, and then afterwards I'm like, cool, man. And then I make friends with them. I did it with the ladies at the Chinese restaurant. I was like, I come in here every day and I buy the same thing. We are friends. And they looked at me and I was like, yeah, we cool, man. You know what's up. And then the lady looked at me nuts and then she was like, yeah. And I was like, ah, cool.
We cool.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it has, like, and it's not something where I feel like a victim. It's just like, I have noticed some things where, like, that car I have, BMW Z3, it's a convertible. It's a nice looking car.
The one I noticed you start covering up now.
Yeah, because it's got a leak. The back window's broken with these storms coming in. I don't want to smell like that.
He doesn't cover it because it's so expensive.
That's what I was
water's
thinking.
Getting in his back. No.
That's why I asked you if you had duct tape in your car. That's how he's been fixing
he's
the
got
plastic
packing
back window.
Tape over it.
Yeah, exactly. It's just that's why I have that cover out there. But since having that car, more people approach me at a gas station and ask me for stuff. Hit me up for money. I had one guy, like, I walk into Publix, and he didn't hit me up for money. There's one guy who's kind of well-dressed, walked up and goes, hey, man, I saw you driving that car. And he starts talking to me about, like, really fancy cars. And I know nothing about them. He's talking about, like, Aston Martins and Jaguars and Bentleys. And I'm like, I got that thing for, like, $6,000-$7,000. What are you talking about, dude?
Yeah.
Like, this I didn't drop several grand on that thing, at least not in the 10s or the 20s. And finance some expensive car. And then also my hair. I've had politicians during election season come into the studio. And one, I'm not going to name who, but one... looked at me and said, so what time do you get up in the morning?
and I guess who it was.
Well, I said as respectfully as I could, I said, I got up at 6 this morning, an hour workout. When did you get up? And it's just like, you know, I don't really actually take that much offense with it. I kind of like how I look these days. I feel good about it. But it's out there that people assume. But I want to get back to this on, like, trade, working with your hands. Like, I look at folks who can do that, and I feel like a moron because I'm not good with tools. Like my grandfather is, my dad is, like, and they would have me help work with projects, like building a shed out back or work on the car, whatever. And I'm still a moron. And I don't understand where it became like, oh, the guy who can BS on the radio or BS in the classroom at the university because they've read a few books is now considered that much more intelligent than the person that can actually fix that machine that you rely on every day. I don't know where that started. It baffles me.
When people treat me like I don't know what I'm doing, their bill just seems to get higher.
Joey is picking on a scab, just trying to make it bleed.
On his scab, yeah.
I'll just tell you the honest to gospel truth. I'm not a dumb person.
No, I don't.
I know no one has said that, but I'm just saying the common, what you just said. They think, you're a blue-collar guy.
Always.
You weren't smart enough to do so-and-so. I finished third in my class in high school. I was at Auburn University for 2 years. Had a 3.2 GPA when
better
I left
than
Auburn.
My GPA?
It wasn't great. I was in microbiology, was my minor in pre-veterinary medicine. I decided I did not want to be a veterinarian. I didn't enjoy going to school.
That's what matters.
I didn't want to spend 6 more years of my life doing that.
And be unhappy.
And I said, yeah, I'm going back home to milk cows, work on the farm.
Right.
And which they needed me.
Right.
And then that went into, I've always been very mechanically inclined. I fixed everything on the farm, and the opportunity came up to learn the heating and air conditioning trade. And I jumped into that, and from there I started my own company, and since 1998 I've been doing pretty damn good.
No, but here's my whole wind up. Is like, I think there are brilliant people working in all sorts of trades, and I think there are idiots working in, say, the university. But I'm sure in y'all's walks of life, wherever it is, not where you work currently, we shouldn't be that rude. But I'm sure in your walks of life, you've just met somebody, and you look at them after talking to them. You don't even say it, and it's not prejudging. It's like having, like, you know, hung around them. It doesn't have to be work. It could be your friend group, whatever it was, a bar. And you just look at that person and go, are they really that stupid?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I am sometimes baffled by how stupid some people are.
I've done it about doctors before.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Guess who I'm
thinking especially
about.
Teachers.
Yeah?
Yeah. Oh, I got a story. You know, I got a story about everything.
What? It looks like these two, Seth and Fiance, are over here conferring quietly.
We have a friend.
Mm-hmm. The friend I was telling you about last night.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, the only friend that we have.
He's like you. He's educated.
Yeah.
You talking about me, Seth?
Smart.
No, man.
We only talk about you behind your back.
Oh!
But no, it's... Sometimes I get frustrated with people, like, in your circumstance. Like, if we were to hang out and to do something and...
Something breaks.
I don't know how to say it. Yeah.
We fix it.
Oh, and he just assumes I don't have to fix it.
An immediate assumption.
It's like, hey, can you fix it?
Yeah. But
and of course, Eric's like, well, and I'm like, hey, dude, shut up. He's busy.
For real.
Hey, I'm like, don't give him any more.
I know exactly what that is one reason I hate going to church on Sunday.
You go to church on Sunday,
and you're there supposedly to worship the Lord and have a time with your family and sit in worship. And it's, hey, man, hey, you know, that back unit, that thing just ain't cooling just right. Call me Monday.
Yeah.
Or at least wait until service is over. Don't interrupt the freaking... We're having communion right now. Can it wait a little bit longer? It drives me crazy when people do that.
I get it too, man. It's, hey, man, what's going on? Oh, nothing. How you doing, man? Long time, no talk.
Oh, no, you get the phone call.
No, my car AC doesn't work. That's what I hear.
It's the phone call.
did you mean to call me?
Hello?
Yeah.
Hey, Bobby, man, I ain't heard from you in a while.
Hey, man, how's it going, buddy?
You know exactly what that means. Everything's going fine. What's up?
Oh, nothing.
Lauren, the kids okay? Well, yeah, I mean, they're doing okay. Hey, while I got you, you know, so-and-so's broke down. You reckon you got time to come by? And when they start with Buddy, that immediately means, what does it mean, Seth?
They're fixing to rip you off.
Oh, that's great. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. I don't want to pay for anything, and you're my buddy that I have not talked to in 13 years. Okay.
Sure. That's how our friend is. Me and Seth, you know, we all live in the same town. We live in, you know, 5 miles from each other. Me and Seth talk nearly every day. We'll hang out every other day or so, or on the weekend or whatever. But he will not call me to ask me to hang out unless something is broken.
Why? Why you're here?
What was it? What was it? A month ago?
Can you?
A month ago, I went over there and he had a list of stuff that he wanted fiance to help him with.
Sure.
So I went over there, and of course, on the list of people, I am like way down there because he just does not think that highly of me, which I'm cool with.
Well,
you know,
the guy gets free tacos.
Exactly. Right. So I go over there and I'm like, dude, just shut up and let's install these lights. You know, and we're just like, let me do it. And I just did it. And he was like, whoa, that was quick. Hey, how about this ceiling fan with the remote? It's only 9:30. And I did it. And I did it right. And I said, there you go.
I have to admit, I will sometimes play dumb to get somebody to do something for me.
You don't have to play dumb, dude. Just ask.
No, because something like a ceiling fan. Like, I'm pretty sure I could figure that out.
I can understand playing dumb to get something.
Yeah.
But I guess my idea of common sense is different than some other people's. Like, I don't like car wiring. Like, I'm thinking about wiring up a stereo system in your car. I can do that in my sleep, and I can think about it. You know, I can look at one picture of a piece of furniture, and in my head, I've taken it apart and made it to where I can make it the way somebody else wants it. And the furniture thing is different, but like the simple stuff that I don't know, I just feel like everybody should know.
I think a lot of this, the buddy people that, hey, can you help me, buddy, do this, a lot of that, these people, they're manipulators, and they do it on purpose because they are too lazy to sit down and do it themselves.
And
they know they can guilt you into doing it for them.
The jerk that says,
Oh, you say no.
Yeah, I say, nah.
Nice.
That's my problem. I can't say no.
Yeah, when me and Seth, well, I can't say no either, and that gets me in a whole boatload of trouble.
Oh, it gets you in an ass of trouble.
But, like, if Seth ever needs something, then it's I love helping Seth because he's like, dude, I need you to help me do this. And I'm like, okay, and I'll come over and we'll do it. And it turns out to be him doing it with my supervision.
Yeah, it's like, hey, should I do? It's like a joint venture.
I help him.
Yeah.
And you know, other times, I'll go and they ask for my help, and I go over there, and it's easier for me to just do it than to struggle trying to explain the stuff to them, because it's like you took the screw out of this spot, you need to put the screw back into that spot.
I will say I am like, I'll put it this way, I try not to take advantage of people in that sense, like the hey buddy calls, but... And this is me maybe being too much of an intellectual. I'm being all self-conscious now. Everything we've laid out. There's a book I did read in college. There's one professor named Marvin Petrucci. I don't know if he's still around these days. I need to catch up with him. But he suggested a book. It was popular a while ago called Zen and the Art of Motorcycle Maintenance. And a lot of it's, I think, way too convoluted throwback to like Greek philosophy. But the basic thing I took away from it is it's about him and his friend and their like wives traveling cross country on motorcycles, just riding their big hogs around the country. And the guy who's the first person kind of point of view telling the story says he really loves taking the time to make sure his bike is well kept. He loves doing maintenance on it. And if something breaks, it's like, ooh, it's a new challenge that he finds meaning and overcoming. Whereas his friend is a guy who goes out and buys the most expensive bike in the world. And when it breaks, he gets pissed. He has no patience, and he immediately goes to the most expensive mechanic to fix it. Mm-hmm. And I think in a lot of respects, I am that second guy. And I think it's a flaw where it's like, oh, I want this to just work. I want to buy it. I want it to work, and I want it to always work and never break down. And I've realized more and more, whether it's, you know, radio or anything else, you need to learn every aspect of what it is you love, and it'll only be more fulfilling.
Right.
And just take that time. Because, I mean, I remember doing that with guitars. It's like, I don't want to learn how to restring it. But then eventually you do.
It's the little things. A bunch of little things add up to the big things.
Yeah. Yeah, we're about to take a break. We're taking the break now. And I heard you earlier. I want to hear the story.
Well, you know, I can't say anything quickly, so I didn't want to get started.
Well, I want to hear
Eric said something that triggered. I want to touch on.
I want to touch on that Eric triggered. And I want to hear about your stupid teacher story.
Oh, the stupid teacher?
Yeah.
That's a good story.
We'll be right back.
The sad story.
I'd take you for a runaway train, like a madman laughing at the rain. A little out of touch, little insane. It's just easier than dealing with the pain.
The premier place the River Region turns to for news, weather, traffic, and opinion. News Talk 93.1 FM WACV.
This is Joey Clark. And for those of you out there thinking of buying or selling a home, I have a name for you. Eddie Bader with the Goodson Group. Yes, whether in Montgomery, Prattville, Wetumpka, Lake Jordan, or Lake Martin, and all points in between, Eddie Bader with the Goodson Group is the man to call to buy or sell your home. So whether you're a first-time home buyer or maybe just need a bigger home for that growing family, call Eddie Bader with the Goodson Group, 322-0662, 322-0662.
Better prices, bigger savings. Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram in Montgomery and Prattville has it all. This week, get up to $12,000 in total savings off new 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorns in stock. Or during the Jeep Celebration event, get up to $6,000 in total savings off new 2017 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Plus, all trade-ins are welcome in any condition, even high mileage and damaged vehicles. And with a job bringing home $350 weekly, we can get almost anyone approved. All trade-ins are welcome. Quick, easy credit approval. Up to $12,000 in total savings off new 2018 Ram 1500 Bighorns in stock. Up to $6,000 in total savings off new 2017 Jeep Wranglers in stock. Only at Brubaker Dodge Chrysler Jeep Ram on the Eastern Boulevard in Montgomery and Cobbs Ford Road in Prattville, or online at Brubaker.com.
I'm Dick Brubaker, and I approve this ad.
Must finance through Chrysler Capital. Stock numbers R8040 and J7371, plus tax, tag, title, doc, and destination fees. All rebates and incentives to dealer. Negative equity refinanced. Offers don't combine.
The President of the United States!
Just as I promised the American people from this podium 11 months ago, we enacted the biggest tax cuts and reforms in American history.
When President Trump promised tax cuts, Twinkle Kavanaugh promised that those savings would go back into the pockets of hardworking Alabamians. And both Trump and Twinkle lived up to their promises. Just weeks ago, Twinkle Kavanaugh, as head of the Public Service Commission, led the effort to return $337 million of the Trump tax cuts to electricity customers in Alabama. That's more than $300 million Twinkle Kavanaugh ordered the big utilities to return to hardworking Alabamians. And under Twinkle, the price of natural gas for our homes hit its lowest mark in a decade. Putting money back in the pockets of Alabama families. Keeping her promise to turn Christian values into conservative government. Twinkle Kavanaugh for Lieutenant Governor.
Paid for by Twinkle for Alabama. Post Office Box 240367, Montgomery, Alabama 36124.
Jones Brothers is so much more than roofs. Improving the look and energy efficiency of your home is easier than you think. New windows from Jones Brothers are not only beautiful, but can save you real money. Vinyl siding is a great way to update the look of your home and save on your energy bills. With Cedar Ridge composite siding from Jones Brothers, your home will be four times more insulated than with ordinary siding. Call Jones Brothers today for a free estimate. Call Jones Brothers. You'll be glad you did.
Twinkle Cavanaugh is falsely attacking conservative outsider Will Ainsworth because Twinkle is the ultimate swamp politician, and lying to keep power is what swamp politicians do. Twinkle's been a career politician for decades. She's run for governor, lieutenant governor, treasurer, public service commissioner, everything but dog catcher. Twinkle supported the largest tax increase in Alabama history ever. And Twinkle is a longtime swamp bureaucrat and former government lobbyist for the swamp interests she now regulates. Twinkle Cavanaugh, another tax-loving lobbyist bureaucrat swamp politician Alabama can't afford. Conservative outsider Will Ainsworth is pro-life, pro-gun, 100% pro-Trump. A small businessman, not a career politician, he'll fight for the strongest immigration laws in America, arm teachers in the classroom, and drain the Montgomery swamp. Will Ainsworth for Lieutenant Governor.
Paid for by Friends of Will Ainsworth, 7520 Browns Valley Road, Gunnersville, Alabama, 75976.
Hi, this is Carl Schmidt, naturopath and owner of The Herb Shop. Listen every Saturday at 11 a.m. to Winning Wellness and learn from experts in different fields of science and technology how nutritional supplements can help you. That's every Saturday at 11 a.m.
Rich Thomas Weather, a service of Wiley Sanders Trucking, right now offering top pay of 45.5 cents per mile and quarterly and annual safe driving bonuses. Apply today at WileySanders.com.
Rich Thomas Weather.
Hi, everybody. The risk of showers and thunderstorms continues. In fact, some of the storms could be on the strong side, but generally overnight they'll start to fade out. Overnight low in the mid-70s. Tomorrow, a routine summer day in this part of the world. That would be a sun and cloud mix, high around 92 with a few scattered hit or miss afternoon and evening storms here and there. Sunday's high will be closer to 94 with triple digit heat indices, lots of sunshine, and rain chances not zero, but relatively small. Stay on top of the weather changes with our weather app. It has the latest from the tropics, 10-day forecast, hourly forecast, current conditions, radar, future radar, and push notifications for severe weather alerts. Go to the App Store and search Rich Thomas Weather. From the Blue Water Weather Center, this is Rich Thomas.
This is Brian Carr of Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating. When it's time to make it new again, it's New Look, where we make it simple, you make it beautiful. Benjamin Moore Paint, New Look Decorating, 6237 Atlanta Highway.
Trustworthy, accurate, immediate. Carrying your voice across the river region. News Talk 93.1 FM, WACV.
Joey Clark.
Ladies and gentlemen, one of the most depressing songs ever. I remember it.
Yeah, man.
It really is.
They are so sad, but I love them so much.
Yeah.
When I was young, I knew everything. She a punk who rarely ever took advice. Now I'm guilt-stricken, sobbing with my head on the floor. Stopping baby's breath and a shoe full of rice. No, can't be held responsible. She was touching her face.
So
held responsible.
It's so sad.
She fell in love in the first place. For the life of me, I cannot remember what made
us. I don't think Eric and I are getting this.
No, it's my fault. This song is my fault.
For the life of me,
he's playing this right now.
I cannot believe we'd ever die for these sins. We were merely freshmen.
Okay, enough of that crap.
Thank you. Me and Emily had a conversation a few weeks ago about stuff like this. Like, you guys singing along with that, I can't do that. Like,
you can't sing?
No, I can't sing.
You can
anyway,
we? Could
but
you hear?
No, we were talking about it, and, like, the Versus album with Pearl Jam.
Yeah.
My favorite Pearl Jam album. I know Daughter, like, the back of my hand,
mm-hmm.
but...
unless the song is playing, I can't tell you the lyrics to it.
Oh, wow.
See, I have to listen to a song a lot and have it fresh on my mind. I did this the other day when you asked about my first time, Seth. Mm-hmm. I had a speech class where the teacher said, I bet no one in this room can come up here and talk for a minute straight without any filler words. Like, you know, whatnot. And I raised my hand. I was only a freshman, or whatever. I was only a freshman in college. I'm like, I can do it. By the way, I got a C in speech class, and now I'm on the radio. How about them apples?
Hey, Miss Crumpin would be so proud.
School did you a bunch of good, didn't
it? I know.
Them grades mean a lot.
But I raised my hand. She goes, okay, Joey. I'll walk up to the front of the class, and I look at the class, and I say, I was working part-time at a five and dime. My boss was Mr. McGee. He told me several times that he didn't like my time because I was a bit too leisurely. It seems that I was busy doing something close to nothing but different than the day before, and that's when I saw her. I saw her.
What was
she walked in through the outdoor. She wore a raspberry beret. And the teacher stops and goes, no. Like, what are you? Challenge accepted, and I won.
And see, that's what school does. They change the damn rules on you.
Vern asked me that same question about right when I first started coming to hang out with him.
Yeah.
I totally did it, too. He was like, ooh. I was like, uh-huh. Don't mess with me. I had a lisp, and I took speaking debate.
Well, and these days you can use a lisp to hear it finish. Like, don't make fun of my lisp. Like, how dare you?
Sally sold seashells by the seashore. My name's Seth Spotlow.
Okay, well, let's get back to what we teased before the break. 84.
I the one thing that Fiance had said when we were talking about buddies, mm-hmm. and you were saying that, like, if you help Seth do something, you supervise and he does it, but it's often so much easier when you're doing it for somebody else just to do it,
yeah,
and get it done with. That is one thing I found in parenting that is so freaking hard, is to take the time to let your children perform tasks instead of just doing it for them.
Mm.
And that's because that's the way you learn how to fail, and you didn't do it right. And they, you know, simple as washing a cup. They get through, you look at it and say, nope, you missed a spot, do it again.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to take the time to sit there and watch them do it. And I think that's one reason that children are so spoiled now, because we're in such a hurry and everything, we're so rushed, and we don't take, you know, time out with our children. It's just like, just get out of the way and let me do it. And you just sit there and, you know, get the plate washed real quick and put it up.
I love
and
that.
Be done with it.
So much, because
it is hard as hell, especially when you're good at something and you know it should take five seconds.
But they're
to sit there and watch, and you're going,
well, they don't know. And if they're going to screw up, they need to screw up in front of you.
Yes.
Because, I mean, something serious could happen. And I learned everything by myself. So when I first moved out, I was washing a dish, and I had my hand in the dish, and the glass broke. And it slipped, and I cut myself really badly.
Yeah.
And I didn't know what to do. And I was like, holy crap. So I called my mom, and she was like, I don't know what to do. And then, of course, somebody said super glue one point in time. So I put some brown paper towel and duct tape, man, went to the store, got some super glue, and glued myself shut. You know? So, I mean, if...
You figured it out.
Yeah, I figured it out. But if... I would have not been doing that by myself. I would have had somebody been like, hey, let's just glue you shut.
I don't remember if I read something, or maybe I'm even remembering wrong, but Neil deGrasse Tyson...
Yeah.
Had a speech or something, said something about exactly what you just said. You know, his thing was children are born scientists, I think is what it was. But, you know, let them play in the kitchen, let them play with the egg, let them watch the egg roll off the counter and hit the ground and see what happens. and then let them clean it up.
There you go.
I love that. You guys are
helping and that's parenting. And that's the fall down part is we let them play with the egg. We let it hit the floor. When it hits the floor, say, get out of the way. I'll clean it up.
Exactly. Right.
Because they just wipe the egg everywhere and all up and down the counter. And you're like, just get out. Just let me do it.
It becomes even worse, though, because say you get mad, too. So then, like, instead of a moment of, like, they might learn something, it becomes a moment of, like, shame, I'm being punished.
Right.
Sure. Mm-hmm.
That was the thing was... A lot of parents nowadays are jumping. Oh no! Don't let the egg roll off. Don't let it roll off. It'll break. Well, they don't really know that because they haven't experienced it.
Right.
And that was.
We talk about this all the time. Do you want your kid? And it's actually kind of the way I view ethics. And there's like a thing in some theologians called divine command theory because God says it is so. It is so. Like, God said it's good, it's good. Whereas there are other theologians say, no, God is goodness. Like, and it's the difference between, do you want your kid to walk around not touching a hot stove coil because mommy or daddy said don't? Which in this case is like, I don't murder people because God said thou shalt not kill. No, that's probably not a good reason to walk around and not murder people. If that's what it takes, fine. And there are some people out there like that who need the fear of God put into them. But you want your kid to understand, oh, I don't touch fire. I don't touch the hot stove coil because it'll burn me. That pain, bad. You want that simple connection. But we're almost running out of time. I want to hear about this stupid teacher, this sad, sad story.
Oh, it's not. You know, there's an old saying, there's no such thing as a stupid question.
Yeah.
I mean, have you ever heard that?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. No, there is a such thing as a stupid question. And I don't remember why I mentioned this now, but when I was working for the BOE, I go into a classroom and teacher wanted they had window units. And it was a portable, one of those old trailers. Mm-hmm. There were two window air conditioning units hanging outside of it. And one was running and the other one wasn't. And I just walked in and I just kind of assumed. I said, this one down here is not working. And she said, yes, it's not working. And so I walked down there, look at the unit. I pop the front off of it. I take it. I plug it in. I turn it on. We had a little sequence that we went to. We turned the thermostat all the way to the high setting, turn the fan on, make sure the fan would run, pop it down. You can hear the compressor come on, and then you feel the little sides of the coils to see if it's refrigerating before you go any deeper. Everything seemed to be working fine. Turn it up to high speed, set it down, check my coil drop over the temperature. Unit's working perfect. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I wonder what's going on. So I pull the unit out. I check the fan motor. Maybe the fan's going bad. Pull the capacitor out. Check it. Maybe it's overheating, this and that. I cannot find a dadgum thing wrong with this unit. I mean, I've gone through everything. Checked the switch. On the switch out. And put it back together. And I'm just sitting there scratching my head. Teacher walks over, says, wow, that thing's working great now. What'd you do to it? I said, I'm sorry. I said, I didn't do anything to it. You know, it's just, it must be something really odd going on with it. She goes, no, it wouldn't work at all this morning. I said, okay. She said, you had to do something. She says, I turned it on and it wouldn't do anything. I said, now, I plugged it in. She looked me dead in the eye and said, you mean you have to plug those things in for them to work?
Princess.
This was not a substitute teacher. This was a fifth grade teacher in a classroom. You mean you have to plug it in for it to work? And with a straight face, I looked at her. I said, yes, ma'am. It's kind of like a lamp. If you don't plug it in, it's not going to work. I don't care how many times you turn it on. And that went straight over her head. She goes, wow, okay. So there is such a thing as a stupid question.
I completely understand where that happens. But I can also see the other side of she's probably never had to plug the thing in.
She never let an egg roll off the counter.
Yeah, she never checked to see if it was plugged in or needed to be plugged in.
I bet she was pretty.
Not really.
Not really.
No. Well, now, there was a really smoking hot one that worked over there.
Did she know how to plug it in?
Oh, I don't know. I never found out.
You have to be 10% smarter than the crap you're trying to operate.
No, for lack of trying.
And God, well, on that hot for teacher comment, you got me off track. You got me way off track. No, but also I see, like, there are a lot of girls who graduated from my school who I did not. Maybe that's my prejudice. I think I have a prejudice that comes from Catholic school of, like, the smarty pants, overachieving, by the book girl. Like, I think that just come, and I've gotten to know them, some of them at the 10-year reunion. They're grown up to be great people, and it's fine. But I see, like, some of these now young women who are teaching, say, grade school, and I say to myself, I don't have the patience to do that. I don't have sort of the empathy, and patience is the key, but, like, teaching a group of, say, 7-year-olds would scare me more than teaching a group of 20-year-olds in college.
You would think so, until you got them in a room and you saw how they looked at you and how you put stuff. You could talk just like you're talking to us to them, and you would be amazed. Well,
that's
My mom is a preschool teacher. She is. My mom's a preschool teacher for like 3 to 5-year-olds or whatever. They love her. The parents love her. She talks to the kids like I talk to my kid, you know?
Yeah.
She just talks to him, and she teaches him crazy stuff. Who's on a penny, a nickel, a quarter?
Yeah.
Bones in their legs. They can tame all the bones in their hand, and they're like 4. It's crazy.
You treat them like little people instead of children.
And also, kids can teach you more. I was asked, this had to be years ago now, I was really down in the dumps, miserable, drinking way too much, just very cynical a-hole, really. And I was asked to go read some kids at St. Pete. These kids had to be 5 years old, 6 years old. And they all got in a little group, tight-knit sitting. Is it wrong to say Indian style? That's what I was taught it was called.
It's crisscross applesauce.
Now the new PC.
No. Emily has taught me that.
No.
It's the new PC term.
Wrong.
Anyway,
it's Indian style.
Native American style.
Anyway, I read them dramatically, Green Eggs and Ham. And the teacher, after I finished, and the kids were, like, giggling throughout me reading the story, I'm like, it's playing. It was like a comic or a wrestler going, I'm getting a pop out of this. All right, I'm entertaining these kids. And the teacher's like, okay, give Mr. Clark a round of applause. Yay. Out from the back of the group sitting down on the ground, this one little boy stands up and starts to run at me at full speed. I'm like, what is about to happen? I'm sitting down in this chair. So and the teacher goes to grab him, just misses by a few inches to grab his shirt. He runs at me full speed, and he launches himself at me and locks onto my left shoulder with a hug.
Aww.
Which precedes the 25-year-old. Yes. 25 5-year-olds. All these kids come around and give me this group hug. I can feel the cynical Joey melt away. And it was a fantastic moment.
It is, man. It really is.
We're out of time, guys.
Nothing better.
That was fun.
Children are the best.
I know. My little monster. Can't wait to bring her in here. Maybe she'll do something cute.
Yeah. Hopefully so. Be back Monday.
Yeah, man.